Welcome back to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we are continuing our series, What in the World? By talking about false teachers. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter.
I did it again.
Scatter.
But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Amen.
You know, in my head, I was like, oh, I said scatter right. And then it came again. And I said scatter. Scatter. So that's tough. I'll get there.
We'll be able to say the name of our podcast one day.
Oh, my gosh. One day. Hopefully one day soon.
Yeah. We're only 16 in, but it's fine.
It's fine. Oh, my gosh. We're back. We're glad to be back with you this week. And before we talk about false teachers, what you got, Rach?
All right. Tete-a-tete. I have really enjoyed thinking about this one because it was a part of a conversation that I was kind of in the other day where we're thinking about, like, the world pre-sin, heaven, post-new creation, what it's going to look like, all of those fun conversations.
Yeah.
Do you think that we will continue to develop and create technology and things like that in the new heaven and new earth? Because God gave us the ability to create.
Yeah. I don't know. Because, like, what's the need for tech? Like, what need is technology meeting?
Well, I mean, some technology is just for pure beauty. Some technology is to work and organize. And I know, like, we've talked about it before, like, we will probably have jobs and work in the new creation. I don't know what that's going to look like. Are we all going to be farmers? Are we going to be homesteaders living on the
land? Yeah, like, do we, like, get back to our original roots or do we continue to develop?
I don't know.
Wow.
But, like, think about if technology was not tainted by sin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think about how good it could be.
Yeah.
So what if? Like, do we think that's going to happen?
Maybe.
What could it look like, though? Social media that isn't...
Oh.
Social media that isn't...
No, I don't want social media.
Oh, I kind of do.
Okay.
I mean, like, you get to connect with... Like...
No, I don't want phones to be a thing.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. I want it to be... We're just all so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can maybe fly. Oh, I'd love to fly over.
Yeah.
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 Instead of having to FaceTime.
See you in a second. We just fly over.
Let me just... Boom.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah, just teleport. Just
boom. Teleport. Yeah. That's the one I can think of it. Boom is all I have.
Yeah. And the blinking of the eyes. I don't know. Like, I think we will. I think that God made the human mind with the ability to create new things like technology. And I think it's cool.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I think I want it to look as minimal as it can. Like, enjoy things that people are creating using technology. I think I just also am a high school counselor and am out on social media because of how it affects people. So I have a really hard time viewing it without sin.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, think about, like, we use social media to spread the word.
Yeah, we do.
So
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you think we will?
I think we will.
Okay.
I don't know what that's going to look like, but I think we will.
Yeah, that's tricky. What will it look like? What will any of it look like? Our minds cannot imagine.
You know, say.
Do we have any inkling?
What do you mean?
I mean...
Is it in Revelation or anything?
You know, that is the one book of the Bible that I have not done a study of that's, like, really intense because I don't understand it.
A good one to study. I know people who have over the last few years. I haven't heard them speak about that specifically. And I've done very brief, not brief, but, like, shallow end. I haven't gone deep in Revelation.
I think it gets more into, like how everything will end, like, as we know it now. I don't think it really gets into a lot of, like what it'll be like after.
Yeah. Other than perfect.
Yeah.
Great. So we're just not supposed to know.
I love that.
No.
Yeah. It's fun to think about.
No, that's
fun surprise that the Lord has for us.
Yeah. I have not really much to say except one, I've never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, I don't do well on the spot. So,
well, that is what the tete-a-tete is.
I know, but usually I have opinions and I just don't really have an opinion because I've just never thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. But it is wild
interesting
to think about. It would be really cool, I think, to just keep developing.
Yeah. I think so too.
But I don't know. I don't know if that sounds realistic.
I think what if we do space travel? Like, we could go to like another galaxy.
I think we will already be in one.
I know, but like, what if we can go to like
a different one?
Like,
we're in heaven and we're like, let's also just like go check out the moon still.
Well, there's gonna be like the new Earth. It says heavens and the new Earth. So
yeah. I don't know.
I'll save that for another time.
Oh.
I'll save another. We got another one. For this. Okay. Got another tip.
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. I'll come back in episode 18 for the finishing of that thought.
Okay. Not even the next one, but the next one.
Well, Mariah's is next.
Yeah, don't skip me.
Yeah.
Jordan, please.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Keep the listeners coming back.
Yeah. You gotta listen to everyone. We know you're here for the tete-a-tetes.
Absolutely.
We know you 100%. Love them.
All right, so this episode we are going to be talking about false teachers. Mm-hmm. Before we dive in, I just want to specify, first and foremost, it is our responsibility to be on guard. Mm-hmm. We see that in scripture. We see that in reference to sin, but we also have to be on our guard against false teaching and false preaching. So in order to do that, we have to know the word of truth. We have to know our Bible. While we are responsible for joining churches that have healthy culture, that we want to make sure they are gospel centered and they are kingdom focused, the responsibility doesn't end there. We have to continue, just like we continue growing in our relationship with the Lord by spending time with him every day. We also need to be reading the word so that when we hear things from a teacher or preacher who is not in line with scripture, we have that knowledge base. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I'm brand new to Christianity. How do I know? Just ask questions. We talked about that. I think it was episode 4. Be sure that you're asking questions. No matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, if you are choosing him every day and you are spending time with him, continue to ask questions. Continue to seek confirmation in the scriptures of what the person teaching you or preaching is saying.
Don't be scared to ask questions.
Don't be scared.
It can be intimidating, but ask the questions.
Yeah.
Well, and you never know who else might have the same question.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're helping everybody in the body when you do that.
Mm-hmm. There's no stupid question. Like, 100%.
Nope.
None.
And think about like, I hear it all the time in school. It's like, oh, there are no dumb questions. And people kind of roll their eyes at that. Like, there's actually not. Like, if you don't know something, that is okay.
Yeah.
If you don't know something, that's because the information hasn't been given to you or you've forgotten it. Mm-hmm. And neither of these things make you wrong or unintelligent. It just means you get to learn. Learning is good. We should continue learning our whole lives. So do the work.
Yeah.
Do the work. Spend the time with the Lord. Read your Bible. Ask questions. Consider when you were in school, just sitting in a class did not get you an A or a B or a C or a D or an F. Like, well, probably an F if all you're doing is sitting in there. but consider how much work goes into receiving a good grade.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. Like, translate that to your relationship with people. If there's a one-sided friendship, the friendship probably isn't going to go too far.
Yeah.
If it's two-sided, both of you are working towards something. The Lord has pursued you. Mm-hmm. He does it first. That's the only reason we have a relationship with him. And so it's our responsibility to pursue him in return.
Mm-hmm.
So a scripture to start with, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word.
Mm.
Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Yeah.
That is our responsibility. Like, this message is, yes, to teachers, to preachers, but as you individual, be sober-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Endure suffering with your Christian community. do the work that the Great Commission gave to us and fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given you. Like, all of these are active words.
Yeah.
Christianity is not a passive faith. It's not something that you pray a prayer one time and then you're good. There are things that scripture tells us to look out for, and we need to be responsible to do that.
Yeah, it's good.
So anyone who's going to be teaching, and then you hear that they are teaching or preaching something that is contrary to one of the essential Christian beliefs or teaching, ask questions. Look into that. Consider why. The Gospel Coalition has a great article, What Are the Essentials of the Christian Faith? It's not an exhaustive list, but it gives you a good place to start. So it talks about Christian behaviors, but it also talks about Christian beliefs. So if anyone is not preaching these things, ask questions. Some examples are that we must be born again by the Spirit of God. We mm-hmm. see that in John 3:5. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We see that in John, all throughout it. We see it in Galatians. The benefits of the gospel come by faith, not by works.
Yeah.
So we do not have a works-based faith. We see that in Acts. We see that in Galatians. We are saved by Jesus Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Christ was bodily resurrected and our bodies will be resurrected, 1 Corinthians 15:12 through 19. And these are just some examples.
Yeah.
So read your Bible, talk to people who are grounded in their faith, who you look up to, learn what essential beliefs are, learn what to look out for, and ask questions, because it is dangerous to fall into a church or even a friend group with a small group leader who is not preaching the truth.
So we're going to get into a lot of things that are going to be daunting, because it's going to be like, oh, how do I make sure that I'm not falling into this lie? Like, what are all the lies? How can I know to avoid all the lies? And that can be overwhelming, especially if this is a newer journey for you guys. Mm-hmm. So before we get into all of it and you get overwhelmed, I want to highlight that one of the most important things, not one of the most important thing you can do is know the word. So like Jordan said earlier, it is our responsibility to read and soak in the word of God. Mm-hmm. So there's a very, very common analogy that pastors often make in John MacArthur's book, Reckless Faith. He talks about it. He says, federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying the counterfeits. They study genuine bills until they master the look of the real thing. Then when they see the bogus money, they recognize it.
So that's good.
Yeah. So that is like,
that's helpful.
It is, because it's okay. Like, we can get, and I'll talk about it later, because like, cults are fascinating. Like, the way the human mind is deceived is fascinating to me. And you can get distracted by, oh, how do these people believe these things? What is this? And then you can lead yourself down a road of honestly getting off track yourself, because you're so focused mm-hmm. on the false that you're not reading the true.
Yeah.
And you get caught up in lies yourself. So
yeah. And it's like finding that balance mm-hmm. because, you know, gosh, this could go so many different ways. But we are responsible for, like, okay, consider what's happening in the world. Ask questions there, but always return to scripture.
Amen.
Don't get so lost in the jungle. What word do I want?
I like jungle.
Okay.
Yeah. Vines everywhere. Don't get so, scary animals in the dark. Yeah.
Don't get so lost in there. And you went in for a good reason. You're like, I need to find out what's happening. I need to make sure that I am not believing things that are like, but don't get so lost in there that you don't make enough time to sit with scripture.
Yeah.
Be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Talk to your community.
If you're spending more time watching documentaries about cults than you are in the word of God, you are doing it wrong.
Yeah. Fair.
I am saying this as someone who has done this. So.
Okay. A lot of cult documentaries for you.
It's so, they're so fascinating.
They are fascinating.
So fascinating.
They are. They also make me feel sad for people.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. And there, you know, like I said, there are dangers of following false teachers or false preachers. We can be led astray from biblical Christianity, and people can actually lead people to believe that they are following true Christianity when they are not.
Yeah.
And so that gets confusing.
Yeah.
And then there's also people who will kind of be like salesmen, and they're like, well, if you had a little more faith, then God would provide fill in the blank.
ask questions. Where does it say that in scripture? It can lead to paying more attention again to your works than your faith. Like, if I could only do this and I would get this thing that I want. Okay, well, are you pursuing God and asking him to give you the desire for his will? Be cautious with people who claim God told me, fill in the blank, like God told me that you are going to, or that you need to. If there's not scripture following that, if you can't find that in scripture, you know, I mean, I think prophecy could be like a whole episode, but really consider the source, like who's talking to you, consider their background in Christianity, their faith, the fruits of the Lord, the fruits of their faith that you are seeing in their lives. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anyone who's ever said something like this was a false teacher or preacher. I am saying, ask a question. I was mm-hmm. actually on a walk with a friend who said, yeah, like this woman said that she, I forget exactly how the friend phrased it, but this woman said that she heard from the Lord that I would get married. And I was like, okay. And so we talked about that, and like the woman loves the Lord.
Yeah.
And like, okay, could you back that up with scripture?
Yeah.
And that's a hard conversation, but be the friend who, when someone brings that to you, is willing to walk through it with them and say, okay, like this is a good desire that you have. Let's walk through what scripture actually tells us.
Yeah. And yeah, be very careful when anyone says, I have a word from the Lord for you, because if yeah. it does not align with scripture, it's not from the Lord.
Yeah. And God absolutely speaks to us. He speaks through us. But when he does, we are hearing, or what we are hearing from him can be backed up by scripture.
Yeah.
So just be careful. Don't be suspicious of everyone that's coming up to you. We don't need to live in fear.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Thank you. But be responsible.
Yeah.
And don't do it alone.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you read, and we're going to link the what are the essentials of Christian faith, because mm-hmm. also as we get into this conversation, there are differences between essentials and non-essentials, because obviously Christianity has a number of different denominations.
Yeah.
I have brothers and sisters who I love dearly who I disagree with on a few theological points, but they are not salvific.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is they are not a saving essential. Mm-hmm. They are something that there is room for different interpretation in scripture.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into all of those, but no.
That's a good to note though. Yeah. And another way you might hear that is like foundational mm-hmm. and then yeah. like a secondary or a yeah. tertiary.
Yeah.
Issue. I don't yeah. like the word issue.
Issue is fine. We've okay. made issue a issue.
That's true.
Yeah.
yeah. So you might hear, you know, like these are foundational truths. This is secondary. This is tertiary. And so the secondary and tertiary areas are where yeah. you're going to see different denominations. But we all have the foundational belief in the gospel and the truths of scripture
yeah.
that are essential.
Yeah. My mom says, what did she say? She says, harmony in essentials and grace in non-essentials. So that's how we're supposed to live. Yeah.
Say that again.
Harmony in essentials, grace in non-essentials.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Love that.
Shout out Robin. Wise woman. Robin.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question there.
Okay.
Not on Robin, but
okay.
Good
I was Robin. Like, oh. Robin's got answers. We'll have her on. Call a friend, phone a friend.
Okay, so I'm thinking if we all have this foundational mm-hmm. truth on scripture.
Yeah.
Or foundational understanding of scripture mm-hmm. and then there's a secondary and tertiary mm-hmm. if we're talking secondary and tertiary, how are we explaining mm-hmm. to someone that teacher could potentially be a false teacher if they're believing something secondary or tertiary that we are not believing? Does that make sense?
It does to Rachel, can you restate it for me?
Restate it. Okay. So we're all foundational.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's someone who believes this secondary
yeah.
or tertiary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're saying someone who believes that secondary and tertiary are not what we believe. They're false teachers.
I would not call them a false teacher.
You would not call them a false
teacher. So, okay. Example.
Yeah. Thank you for asking
that. Yeah. So example of what I mean by secondary issue. So Reformed theology versus free will theology. So predestination versus free will. Very heated discussions on a lot of different points there. Maybe we'll do an episode on it one day. I think we have a few different views here. But those are not salvific issues. therefore, like, we can disagree and it's not a false teaching. Does that make sense?
I am understanding. And, okay, but so false teaching,
false teaching is something that's like,
not true.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so if...
Well, okay, false teaching would be if they are saying there's any other way to the Lord but through Christ.
Yeah. Saying, yeah. So the, let me go back to a few of these examples. So if someone says, or if people are claiming that Jesus is a son of God, mm-hmm. not the son of God, big S, right? That is not a foundational truth that we believe as Christians.
Right.
And so that would be false. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if we see people saying that you have to work, you have to do A through X in order to be saved, that is not what we believe. We believe that we are saved by grace through faith, and the works that we do come after because of our response to God. We desire to be obedient, and because so that affects our faith because we love him, or that affects our works because we love him.
Yeah.
And so those are foundational issues. Yep. That Jesus was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died for our sins, defeated sin and death, mm-hmm. raised, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God.
Oh, I have a good verse. I know what to do. Okay.
I know what to touch. Okay. Oh, I know what to do.
Okay, okay, okay.
We love that. And so the, like in one example, baptism. Not everyone believes that baptism is required. Okay, that doesn't mean that they are not a Christian. That is a difference of a secondary or tertiary. I don't actually know which area, secondary, tertiary, that would go. Maybe secondary.
So I would think like secondary would be like the predestination, free will.
Okay.
And I would also think baptism would fall into secondary, but I think like whether or not dancing is a sin would be tertiary.
Okay.
Is the way I think about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Romans 14, 1 through 23 kind of address all this. I'm not going to read all of it, but I do want to read some of it.
Romans what?
14, 1 through 23.
You don't want to read all of it?
Come Romans. On. Okay, so this is talking about the weak and the strong Christian. So these are both Christians. They just have a different level of opinion, and this is not a one size fits all thing. I'm not saying that if you do not believe the way I believe in certain aspects, you are weaker than me. That is not what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
But this is
descriptive, not prescriptive.
Exactly. So it says, except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. So the disputable matters, meaning the secondary tertiary issues. One person's faith allows them to eat anything. So in the Lord, all things are now pure. So we can eat pig and we can eat whatever. Mm-hmm. But another whose faith is weak only eats vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them.
Yeah.
Who are you to judge someone else's servant? We are all God's servants. Mm-hmm. To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. So I would encourage you guys to go and read chapter 14. It gives a very good description of how we are to relate to our brothers and sisters who differ from us on secondary and tertiary opinions. Mm-hmm. These are not primary, foundational, essential matters. The essential matters are what we talked about in the gospel episode.
Mm-hmm.
We believe Christ came, lived a perfect life as the Son of God, died for us, was raised again on the third day, conquering sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
That is the gospel. So...
Yeah. So, all in all, if someone believes different secondary, tertiary beliefs, they're not false.
Correct. So, they're like Presbyterians, Presbyterians, Baptist, Methodist, all believe some different things, but they are there are Christians among them all.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
False would be like.
False is foundational.
False Correct. Is foundational and leading people to have to do something or not do something that is opposite in scripture.
Yeah.
Or the people who are saying like, you know, prosperity gospel, like do these things and then the Lord will reward you this way. Or if you would give this much to the church, then God would reward you by doing this.
Yeah.
That's not something that you can find in scripture. Now,
at least not again, if you're in context.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, context, which...
Episode 4.
Yes. So, yeah. And again, gosh, and like each of these topics that we talk about, someone could do a literal entire podcast on, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
there are so many layers, so many things. Sure. And so we actually will have linked a bunch of Bible verses for you guys to, you know, come alongside us, read the Bible verses, learn with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are helpful characteristics to look for. There are verses in the Bible that relate to that. And so things to look for with false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Jude 1:4 talks about how they creep in unnoticed. 2 Peter 2:1-3, they operate in secret. They have many followers. We see Romans, 2 John, 1 Timothy, Colossians. Like, their word seems intelligent, so they might be very charismatic. It might be like, oh, like those people who are saying stuff, and you just kind of find yourself agreeing, and then it kind of lands afterwards, and you're like, wait. What?
Yeah.
And they may look like legitimate apostles of Christ. They might legitimately look like believers.
Well, and scripture says they might do miracles. Like, yeah. They might do things that look miraculous. Mm-hmm. For there are a lot that will say, Lord, Lord, mm-hmm. did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not do wonderful works in your name? And he will say, I never knew you.
Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
Yeah.
And they, essentially twist scripture. We see that in 1 and 2 Timothy. And again, we'll put all of those Bible verses in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why all of these verses have to do with be on guard. Mm-hmm. We need to be active, because we could talk about this, the three of us, and continue to ask questions and continue to parse it out for hours now, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And so we are responsible to not just listen to someone on stage or in a Bible study or on a podcast. We have to do the work ourselves and pray. Again, we make prayer so little and it's so big. Pray for wisdom, pray for discernment, and mm-hmm. ask the Holy Spirit, hey, help me to feel unsettled when I am presented with something that is not actually biblical or scripturally mm-hmm. sound. And he will do it.
And that goes back to what we said at the top of the episode of when you know scripture, the Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. work in you is he will bring that scripture to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like that specific example, he did that for me when I wasn't even following the Lord. But since my parents, this is a great example of raise a child up in the way he shall go, in mm-hmm. the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So when I was in Charlotte, I wasn't a Christian. I was like, okay, trying to get back into church. I went to a church. It was very warm and welcoming, and there were all kinds of people there. And then I joined a Bible study. I was like, oh, this is fun. There's a lot of different people here. I don't feel judged. Mm-hmm. They straight up preached heresy.
Oh.
And my heart, like, alarm bells. I was not even in the word often, wow. but it's because my parents instilled in me at a young age what truth was
yeah.
according to scripture. But I was like, this feels weird.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Shout out Robin and Terry. But
yeah, we love you.
So that is something that is like, know the word.
Yeah.
And it will protect you.
Yeah.
Would we maybe call people who believe different secondary and tertiary thing values misguided?
So I mm-hmm. think that the things that we believe secondary and tertiary do affect our relationship with the Lord and how we experience him here on earth. It does not affect our standing with him eternally.
But so, yes, it is different than us. It's not wrong. And even this is difficult. Like, I am at a Baptist church for a reason. You know, like, mm-hmm. I believe these things. I've read our covenant at the church, you know, and there are other churches that I have considered in the past, and then I've read their what they believe, specific things, looked into it, and been like, I don't know about this. And there might have been like just one or two things that didn't sit well with me. And so it is different. But we have to be careful not to look at our brothers and sisters and be like, well, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then have that hardness of heart, because there are brothers and sisters in Christ. We believe in the same Lord. We have the same foundational beliefs. And again, it's tricky mm-hmm. because people can say that they have the same foundational beliefs and just be like, well, I think that this is okay, or I think this is okay. And it could be a slippery slope into
heresy.
Joining a church where there's heresy.
Yeah.
And so we have to be on guard. We have to be careful and ask questions and be willing to deal with the things that are hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of them. If you read the Bible and you're never offended, I don't think you're reading it closely mm-hmm. enough.
Amen.
It should hurt you because you recognize your sin in it.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to do that.
Well, and we also need to have the humility to recognize that no one's theology is 100% perfect, including our own.
Yes.
So sure. we will always be learning. We mm-hmm. will always understand mm-hmm. things differently. I mean, thinking about me as a Christian 7 years ago, me mm-hmm. as a Christian now, like there are things that I believe that are radically different. Mm-hmm. It has affected my relationship with the Lord. It has not affected my standing with him.
Yeah.
One of my favorite podcasts I highly recommend people listen to if they want to talk about these things, listen to these types of conversations is called The White Horse Inn. It is a few pastors. They're all from different denominations and they talk about these types of things. So they disagree, like strongly disagree on some things.
With each other.
Yeah. So like we've got a Presbyterian in there. I mean, child baptism is what he believes. And then we've got some Reformed Baptists on there. Obviously, they don't believe in child baptism. Like very, very different things. Mm-hmm. They love each other and they are brothers in Christ. And they have great conversations mm-hmm. from a place of humility. Mm-hmm. There's joking and bantering. And I can't believe you believe that. But mm-hmm. it is a...
But there's love. There's respect.
Love. Yeah.
And there's conversations. And I mean, we should be doing this with people of other faith too. Like, I'm having this conversation to learn about you and what you believe. My main goal is not to change your mind. My main goal is to love you and hopefully point you towards my Savior. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm talking to another Christian who's just a part of another denomination, they have the same Savior. But if I'm talking to my Jewish friend or my friend from the Buddha, like, hopefully they can be like, wow, look at this Christian gal who can have a conversation with me, not try to change my mind, but just encourage me and love me and meet me where I am. Mm-hmm. And... you know, it's not in our power to change hearts, but it is our job as Christians to spread the love of the Lord. That's to one another and also to people of faiths that are different than us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good questions, Mo.
I love that. Yeah.
Thank you for answering.
Oh yeah. Did it answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I would keep going if it did. Okay. Okay. I got some good clarity here.
Okay. Good. So we've talked about a lot of different types of things. And I'm going to go back to the 2 Timothy verse because I think mm-hmm. it's just so good. Mm-hmm. We as humans naturally want to hear things that already agree with our existing worldview. Like we will, and we see it today in, like we were talking about social media at the beginning. We want to build echo chambers around ourselves to confirm in our own heart that we are correct.
Yeah.
So in that 2 Timothy verse, it's referring, I'm referring specifically to part where it says they will wander off into myths according to what their itching ears desire. Mm. Since literally, I put here since scripture has been put to paper, but honestly, since humans have been humaning, there have been heretical twists that appeal to the audience of that time. So like in Genesis, the fall, mm-hmm. the serpent says to Eve exactly what she wants to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, did God really say, mm-hmm. or is he withholding from you something that you desire?
And she planted that seed of doubt.
And she looked and saw that the fruit was good to eat. Mm-hmm. Like she saw with her eyes, it was good. It was something that she wanted. So she believed him because it was something she wanted mm-hmm. already.
And then he doubled down and he said, you will not surely die. And she's like, oh my gosh, now this thing that I want that I thought would kill me before, he's saying it's not going to. Mm-hmm. And the way that he is saying it, he's saying it confidently back to the like charismatic, like you're nodding along. You're like, yeah. And then you actually take a minute to think about it. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Did she already want that though at that time? She was still perfect at that time.
So here's the thing with the enemy. He will give you a little bit of truth and contaminate it with a speck of lie.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But he had to say that first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that twisted the desire of her heart. And so then she saw, yeah, that's what I want.
Right. But before he said anything, you think that her mind was already thinking, oh, I want that fruit.
I do, because she added to what God said before Satan ever said that. Mm-hmm. So he said, did God really say? And she said, yes. He said that we shouldn't eat it or even touch it. God never said that she shouldn't touch it.
Right. But he had asked her that question.
Yeah. But either she made that up or that's what Adam relayed to her, because God told Adam, and yeah, Adam was responsible for telling Eve.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it was something that she wanted.
Yeah.
And so she did it. She justified it. She was able to justify what she already wanted based on what the certain set serpent said to her. Oh, my gosh. On what the serpent said to her.
There you go.
And that gets me to the next point that I want to make. There are so many heresies, and I've got a list of heresies from 2nd century, 3rd century, all the way through literally the 20th century, and there's just a whole list of them. And all of them have an aspect of truth to them, but a critical deception that completely changes the message. So an early one in the 2nd century was, and I'm going to say it wrong, Docetism. So the belief that Jesus Christ did not have an actual physical body, but was only an illusion. Like he had he was like a hologram, basically. Mm. Like that was a belief that Paul addressed in the letters. Mm-hmm. Montanism?
Show it to me.
Montanism? Montanism?
I guess so.
A movement that emphasizes the importance of prophecy and ecstatic experiences overall. Mm. So, like, if you're not prophesying, if you're not getting swept up in the word, you're not a Christian. Adoptionism, the belief that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God from eternity, but was adopted by God at some point in his life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Adoption.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that there's an aspect of truth, because God does adopt us, and there is adoption language in scripture, but Jesus was with God from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like the Trinity was there from
eternity past.
Yeah. And I mean, Jordan referred to it earlier when she's saying, like, scripture is warning us that these things are going to come. Like, the Lord wanted to put to paper, okay, be on guard, put on the armor of God. It's literally a battle. It is literally something that we are to be vigilant in, studying scripture, understanding that heresies are going to come and how we can combat them. And I've got a number of verses, a few repeat what Jordan already said, Matthew 7:15 through 20, Acts 20:28 through 30, and 1 John 4:1-6 are things that I really like.
Yeah. And how kind of God.
Yeah.
How kind of him, because he knows how fickle our hearts are. And he knows that since day one, the move of the enemy has been deceit. Mm-hmm. He's just gotten really good at how he does it, but it's the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every single time. That's his one move.
Well, and that's the thing. As we talk about this, and I spoke to humility a little bit earlier, like, we really need to be on guard against our own arrogance, that we won't fall into these traps. Mm-hmm. Because that is how people get wrapped up into cults. Because they're like, oh, I'm smart. I would never believe these things that these idiots believed centuries ago. No, we just believe different lies.
Well, and like, back to prayer, I did this recently and the Lord sure brought things to my attention. I asked him, I was like, all right, Lord, help me to become aware of my own blind spots. Mm-hmm. Gracious will he answer that prayer. It has been so humbling and so good and hard.
Yeah.
And I have you guys to walk alongside, and I have, you know, a church with pastors and their wives that I can speak to about it and be guided and directed and encouraged, and just ask. Mm-hmm. Ask him.
Yeah. So we often think that, talking about, like, not being arrogant and also, like, Satan being sneaky, we often think that anyone who's a false teacher is like an evil Disney villain, just like sitting in their study laughing themselves, like, haha, I'm going to trick everybody and take over the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes there are people who are genuinely, you know what? They might be possessed. We don't know. Like, they're genuinely people who are corrupted in spirit. Mm-hmm. But that's not how most humans operate. We justify to ourselves why we're the good guys. Mm-hmm. We justify to ourselves why what I am doing and why I am what I am believing is correct.
Yeah.
So if it's one of the modern day, oh, love wins. Like, that is a common thing, and it is true, but the way it's
spun
is so dark.
Yeah.
And it pushes people away from the Lord. Something that our pastor says often, our head pastor Jason, he says often that I love is if you leave a sermon and they have pointed you to scripture or the Lord, amen. Like that is what a sermon should do. If you leave a sermon and they have pointed you to yourself and how good you are.
Yeah.
Woe to those teachers because they are leading the children of God astray. They are like wolves shepherding the flock into just disaster.
It's wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
That's why that verbiage is used because, like you said, sometimes it is people who they mean evil. Like that is their intent. But there are also people, and this is how tricky the devil is, there are people who believe they're right. And what they believe is heretical.
Yeah.
And so we have to be responsible. We have to be on guard.
Yeah. I want to use a specific example here. It is an obvious cult. I'm not sure, like, if it's, y'all know, the Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah. Why do I know that?
Jim Jones. Okay. Drink the Kool-Aid. That's where it comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the biggest loss of American life.
Yeah.
For a long time before things happened. So the Jim Jones, the guy who started that cult, was a profound social justice leader. He, one of his biggest messages was equality between the races, and that is a good thing.
Yeah.
For men are created equal. Like, we are not better or worse than our brother based on our skin tone. That is a great, great message.
Yeah.
And that is something that he preached, and he used it to his advantage to twist and manipulate. So cult's motivation at the top can be they have a great message. They suck a lot of people in, but their motivation is power, money, sex, or just a combination of all of it. So that is a huge thing to be on guard of. So like, yes, okay, their message might be good, but also look at everything else. Like they might have one good thing and the rest of it is complete heresy.
Yeah. Well, and also be on guard against people who, I like that you use the word rationalize, but also I want to use the word excuse. Be on guard against people who excuse, like, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but this isn't really this, because that is a slippery slope.
Amen.
One, that is someone who, you know, I heard a pastor this morning when I was listening to a sermon say, 10 years from now, if you committed some heinous sin, what are the things that today could have started leading you there?
Oh, yes.
That's a good question to ask. Like, okay, what am I, and again, it goes back to asking the Lord, help me to see my own blind spots, because we can slowly start slipping into gossip or lust or, quote, little things throughout the day that then lead to thinking about someone that you are not married to in a sexual way. And then, well, it's just watching pornography. I'm not even dating anyone. Well, I'm not actually doing anything with anyone. Well, yeah, we're going to get married. Eventually I'll stop watching. Like, slippery slope.
Yeah.
And then 10 years down the road, there's an affair.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to be on guard with people who are like, well, yeah, the Bible says this, but, and then they make an excuse.
Yeah.
There's no but.
Well, that's James 1:14-16. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. It's all in here, guys.
It really is.
Just read the word.
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah. So, and I think that we also need to, as we are dealing with people who are falling into temptation or into sin, or they're following their own desires and wandering off into myths. Like, we do not need to, and we said it before, we do not need to bring hellfire down upon their heads. Like, we need to deal with them gently.
Yeah.
And love them.
Truth and love.
Yeah. Because so Satan, we said it before, has gotten really good at studying the human heart and the human mind and understanding the way we work. He's had centuries to perfect it. And today's false doctrine looks completely different than the false doctrine of the second century. Like, we're not wondering if Jesus was an apparition. But we are wondering if I pray to Jesus, if he'll give me a Mustang. Like,
yeah,
like those are the things. So modern day false doctrines are not always apparent cults. Mm-hmm. He's gotten really sneaky. So the health, wealth, and happiness fee right into the American dream. It leaves us either feeling empty or angry because it's either all our fault because we're not praying hard enough, or it's God's fault because he didn't do what we wanted him to do.
Yeah. And both of those are so hopeless.
Yeah.
If it's all my fault, I'm not able to do it. But if God's not doing it for me, then you might think he doesn't love you enough. And so he doesn't want you to be happy. And that's hopeless in itself too.
Yeah.
And neither of those things are true. We're not supposed to do things on our own.
No.
That's why we're made in God's image and he is a triune God. Mm-hmm. But we do. We have to know these things so that when we are faced with questionable sermons or statements or what have you, we can say, hold on, and have that moment that you had, Rach, of, ooh,
yeah,
I am not even that well versed, but I know this, and this does not feel right.
I do want to, I know we're kind of coming up on time here. I do want to touch on one more thing that could be considered not popular in modern day American culture.
Take us there.
I'm ready. My favorite
I'm things. Excited and scared.
Okay. We are a podcast of three women.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. I'm not going to pretend that the majority of our listeners are not women, because it probably is. So I want to speak specifically to women, because in today's environment of hashtag girl power, girl boss, like all of that, like we can get caught up in our own sense of self-righteousness, our own sense of I can do whatever I want to do and I don't need anybody to lead me or guide me or protect me.
Yep.
And that is contrary to what scripture says. Scripture gives a specific warning to women because we generally we're made differently than men. We are. Like, God made us different. We have different tendencies, the way our emotions work, the way our minds work. And we tend to follow our emotions more than men do. So 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. So please don't turn it off yet.
Please. Bear with us.
But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth.
Wow.
So it says people at the top. So it's saying the generic people will be lovers. That's men and women, people. It does specifically call out weak women who are burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, passions being emotions. And it says that they are always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. We love a self-help book.
We do.
Women love a self-help book. We want to know more about ourselves. We want to do the, what is my Enneagram number?
Well, we genuinely want to be better.
Yeah.
And then we go to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we need to go to scripture.
Amen. So that is something specifically that I wanted to...
Are we calling self-help books false teaching?
No, I do not think that they are false teaching all the time.
Yeah, depending on the book.
I do think there are self-help books that are heretical. I think that this is where we should be reading scripture more than we should be reading self-help books. I almost just name drop there too, so I have to stop.
I think I'm asking that question more so in, if we're not calling those false teaching books, then how does this tie into
heresy,
or just how does this tie into,
if you look
I love what you're talking about. I'm just trying to
so if if you look at the demographic of people who are more likely to fall into a cult, it is women most of the time. Hmm. Women, that is why a lot of them are sex cults, because it's a guy and he's got a bunch of women who are following him, generally speaking, because these women are not wanting to follow sound doctrine. And so these people are sneaking in and capturing weak women who we want to be loved. We want to feel wanted. We want all of those things. And those are good things. Those are good desires that God made us with.
Yeah.
But if we are not on guard and if we are not reading scripture and studying the original, we will be swept away into the false. And that is where that lies. So, and I do think that as women, the self-help books can be more of a false teaching just because it can be a, oh, I can do this myself. Like, let me figure out how to do all of this.
And there are also some that are pointing you back to scripture and you see scripture throughout it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think self-help books are teaching us to be independent.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. And we are meant to be dependent on God.
Yeah.
We are made to be dependent beings. Yes.
We are.
So.
We are.
Okay. Can we do a quick wrap of false teachers?
We want to drop names?
That was it. Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, we want to drop names? We want to call the people out? Did you hear that dead air? We're like...
I know. I was like, sorry, guys. I feel like we normally kind of do this.
I'm ready.
I meant like wrap up. Like, you know, it was a lot of talking and like, let's wrap it up. But if you want to give the people the tea, you know. No, I'm just kidding. We just drink the tea here. Yeah. We don't say tea.
Yeah.
I guess wrap this up. So this is a little bit of a teaching lesson for me today. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of want to break it down into what I've gathered into false teachers and how to discern, maybe, if that's a good word, we think an individual is being a false teacher.
Okay. Yes.
One, we need to know, not need to know, but we need, well, yeah, I guess we need to know who they believe God, Jesus Christ, is the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second, scripture.
Yeah.
If they're not going back to the word foundational, we'll use that word foundational since we use that. And then to go further, secondary and tertiary does not mean they're false teachers if we have different views. Mm-hmm. It just means that we have different views.
Yeah. Yeah.
Foundational. If there's anything different on the foundational level. False teaching.
Yep.
And then third, I don't think we actually specified this word, but I think this is a nice word because it goes into the characteristics we talked about is the fruits of the person.
Yeah.
So I think that there can be plenty of individuals who are teaching the correct word, but I think that they can do it out of anger, not out of love. Mm-hmm. I think they can do it out of pride.
Yeah.
I think they can do it out of many characteristics that are not fruitful.
Yeah.
So I think that was just a nice word to tie in there.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's what I gathered.
Good.
Just a little wrap up from me.
Nice.
Yeah. 101.
Now we're gonna scatter.
Now we're gonna scatter and I'm gonna go give it away. False teaching. It's False Teaching Friday tomorrow for Mo.
Don't give away false teaching, but
yeah, don't do that. Give away
information on false teaching.
There we go. There we go.
Fast tips on how to not fall into false teaching.
Yes.
Goodness.
Read the Bible.
Amazing. Yes. Read your Bible. And guys, thank you so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. Next week, we are going to talk about music and its impact.
I love that.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to talk about music. This one, I am going to have some things to say.
Yay.
I might have things to sing, too, if you guys want to sing.
You're always welcome to sing.
I want you and Jordan to sing.
I'm totally joking.
I'm going to sing. Maybe Hi-Yay-You-Yay.
Man. Maybe, I think one day we're going to tell the people what Hi-Yay-You-Yay means because everyone's going to get really confused.
I think it's fine.
We've said it so many times.
I feel like we've said it.
We love you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. Next week, we are going to talk about music and its impact. And we are very excited.
Yes, we are.
You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search Gather to Scatter. Subscribe, like, and follow.
Bye, guys.
Bye.